Well, I don't know about you, but that song got to me. Man, I had to wipe my eyes before I came up here. Whoa. All right, we are in 1 Corinthians, if you turn there, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'd like to begin reading at verse 1. You can follow with me in your Bible, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the world's, in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all that we've seen and heard already this morning. Thank you, Father, that we have this place we can come into that you've so graciously and generously provided for us. Heavenly Father, that we can worship in spirit and in truth. We can pray, we can sing, we can give, we can serve, we can rejoice, we can praise you. And Father, a place where you, by your Holy Spirit, can open the lips of your servant to speak so that your people can be challenged and changed, convicted and comforted. And Father, I pray you'd help us today that you, by your Spirit and through your Word, might work in our hearts and our lives, that you, my Father, might do that work which you deem necessary and profitable in each of our lives today. I pray you'd speak to us, and I pray, my Father, that you might magnify yourself and glorify your Son. I pray you'd edify your people, and I pray you'd save the lost. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 14 will be our text this morning. Let's read it again. The Bible says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." In verses 14 and 15, there are two kinds of men that are mentioned. There is the natural man, and there is the spiritual man. The word natural, when referring to the natural man here, is the Greek word psychikos, which means the unrenovated man, the unregenerated man, the unsaved man. It speaks of men and women in their, that are naturally without, that are just naturally born without being changed by the Spirit of God. This word natural, translated here, is the same Greek word translated in Jude 1:19. With the word sensual, where he calls the natural man sensual, not having the Spirit of God. This has the meaning of being dominated by and given and driven by the senses. In other words, the natural man, the man of this world, all of us at one time were only natural people. We were born into this world with a natural human nature, a sinful human nature. And so the natural man has his wisdom and his experience based upon what he can touch, what he can see, what he can hear, what he can taste. Sensual, you see, of the senses. The word carnal means unregenerate. And Paul uses this term for the human mind. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7, the Bible says, "The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject unto the law of God, neither indeed can be." So we find here in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, that there is this natural man, and there is a spiritual man. And then the Bible says there is the spirit of man in verse 11. Look what it says. "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him?" Now, the word spirit here is speaking, it means rational soul. It means mental disposition. That immaterial part of man that differentiates him from the animal kingdom. Do you understand? I want you to hear this morning, that you as a human being are not an animal. You are not part of the animal kingdom. You are human beings. They are animal beings. You are human beings. It is said of man that God breathed into him the breath of life. That's said of no other creation in heaven or on earth. And it says man became a living soul, a rational soul with mental disposition. And the word man here, when speaking of the spirit of man, is anthropos, which means human being in his natural state. So let's take all that and put it together. So man, in his unrenovated, ungenerate, and natural state, is a being with a rational soul dominated by his senses, whose mind is at odds with God. Sometimes you wonder how the world does what it does. Sometimes you wonder how the world says what it says. You know why? It's because their minds are at odds with God. Man knows the things of man because of the spirit of man that is within him. But he does not and cannot know the things of God because the things of God are known only by the spirit of God. Look at the verse again. Verse 11, chapter 2. "For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God." We are not born with the knowledge and the wisdom of God. We are born with knowledge and wisdom of man. Why? Because we have the spirit of man. And the things that are of the spirit of God can only be revealed and known and given by the spirit of God. This is reiterated in verse 14. "But the natural man," there he is, "receiveth not the things of the spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them." Neither can he know them. The Bible says the natural man knoweth not the things of God. Now the Bible says the natural man cannot know the things of God. That you can go to a theology school, you can go to a religious education, but you'll not know the things of God as a natural man. That's what the scripture says here. And so with this in mind, I wish to look at three things this morning. Number one, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, we're going to look at, number one, the malady. The malady. Now, a word malady means what? An illness or a sickness. Look at Matthew chapter 26, and we'll read verse 40 and 41. "And he," that's Jesus, "cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter," what? "Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is" what? "Weak." And I want you to notice the word spirit is a small s. It's not speaking of the spirit of God. It's speaking of the spirit of man. The Lord asked his disciples to do one thing. He said, in the previous verses, he said, "Watch and pray." Just do this one thing, disciples. I'm going to go over here. I want you to sit here. I want you to watch and pray. They couldn't even do that. The word "watch" means to keep awake. The word "watch" means to be alert. The word watch means to be vigilant. And remember, this is before the Holy Spirit came to indwell in men at the day of Pentecost. And so when he said to them, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, he's saying to them, I know you wanted to, and I know in your you know, you had a spirit of desiring to do this, but your flesh is weak and prevented you from doing what you were willing in spirit, not the Holy Spirit, in spirit to do. And this is a common malady with human beings. We've all heard of good intentions. That's the willing spirit. We've all heard of high ideals and noble aspirations and lofty dreams that never come to fruition. Why? The spirit is willing. The rational soul of man knows the difference between good and evil and has a certain desire or willingness toward good. If you want to see that, look in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For the Bible says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, or a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Amen. You know, unsaved people know what's right and wrong. Unsaved people know what's good and bad. And many times they're willing to do what's right, but guess what? The flesh gets in the way. That old sinful nature gets in the way. So even when the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Now the word weak here means impotent. It means without strength, literally, figuratively, and morally. It means that the flesh is sick. You look up the word, it means sick. And so the spirit of man is willing to do good, but the flesh or the nature of man is too weak to do so on any ongoing basis. And because man is so complicated, even when he's doing what's good on the one hand, he'll be doing what's wrong on the other hand. This word, sick. It's like when you have the flu. And there are those temporary moments when you think you can do something, but when you get up to do something, you find out the flesh is too weak. You ever have that happen? You know, you're sitting there for like 2 days, and you, I feel like I just want to get up and do something. And you think in your brain you can get up and do it, and you get up and you take a few steps, and you're back down again. Why? The spirit's willing, but the flesh is saying, uh-uh. So the flesh is weak. Man's nature, his sinful nature, is weak because of sin. This is the malady or sickness of the soul. And I'm going to call it soul flu. There's a part in the human being, in his rational soul, and his nature, that is a sickness. It's called sin. And his soul has the flu. And there's times when he wants to, in his spirit, do, but his flesh is too weak. Those disciples, do you think when Jesus said to them, watch and pray, do you think they said, nah, we ain't going to do that? What do you think the disciples did? Yes, sir. Yes, Lord, you can count on us. We'll be watching and we'll be praying. You can count on us. And they meant to do that. And I'm sure when they first sat down, they were wide awake. You know? And they're looking around and they're watching. And all of a sudden, like some of you, right now. You know, when your eyes start to get heavy and you start to go to sleep, and your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. The nature or the soul is weak because of sin, and the body is weak because it's mortal. It's a temporary. It's only flesh and blood. It's limited. So that's the natural man. Well, what about the spiritual man that's mentioned here? Well, the spiritual man is he or she who has received the Spirit of God by receiving Christ as their Savior. Remember when Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God? Listen to what he said. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. He's saying, listen, when you're first born, you're born of the flesh, and that's all you are. You're a human being with a rational soul that has soul flu. It is sick because of sin. And you're in a body that is weak because it's a mortal body. It's a limited body. And he said, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again. Because you need to be born of the Spirit. How do you do that? Well, this is not just mentally, but by faith, believing that Jesus is who he said he is. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I wasn't going to bring this up, but the Holy Spirit's kind of leading me to go here. Yeah, I guess, is it today or yesterday, there's a couple of new saints? Is that today? How many of you heard about the new saints? There's two new saints. A couple of young men that the Catholic Church is canonizing today. And they are saints. I think one was called the patron saint of the internet. I don't know what the other one was. I'm just saying, I'm just giving you a report. It's the truth. Now listen, I'm not trying to be offensive here. I'm trying to be biblical. And what I'm trying to say is the Catholic Church has no power to make anyone a saint. Only God can do that. You know what the word saint means? I shared it with you this morning in Sunday school. It means set apart ones. Sanctified ones. Do you know there are saints in the Old Testament? If you read your Old Testament, you'll find saint, the word saints used in the Old Testament. Well, how could there be saints in the Old Testament if there was no Catholic Church yet to make them saints? It's because the Catholic Church doesn't make saints. And listen, I saw an interview where now a man is going to be praying to this young saint so he can go to heaven. Wicked. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. You see, a person has to believe that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. A person has to believe that there's, as the Bible says, there's one mediator between men and God, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Understanding Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 6:23, and the wages of sin is death. And Revelation, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. In order for a person to be born again or of the Spirit of God, they've got to understand their condition, that they are a sinner and they're lost and they're on their way to hell and there's nothing they can do about it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says in the book of Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And thereby they purposely and knowingly and formally call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, personally receiving him as Lord and Savior. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Listen now, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That's being born again, when you're born of God by faith in Christ as Savior alone, period, exclamation point, end of questions. This person is now regenerated and renovated and born by the Spirit of God into the family of God. Romans 8:8, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. My hope of glory is not the church. My hope of glory is not the law. My hope of glory is not some priest or some pope or some preacher. My hope of glory is not me. My hope of glory is not my works. My hope of glory is Christ in me when I trusted Him as my Savior and invited Him into me. 1 Corinthians 6:19, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? So then those who have been born again now have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. And now they can know the things of God. You'll find this is true. Before you were saved, you read the Bible perhaps. And you just went, what? And after you got saved, you read the Bible and said, whoa. Right? You started understanding things you never understood before. You saw things you never saw before. Why? Because now you have the Spirit of God in you, and He's the one who shows you and reveals to you and teaches you the things of God. The natural man can't do that. See, the natural man, the Bible is literature. To the spiritual man, it's the Word of God. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in this regard. And look at verse 10. The Bible says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? However, we find that what the Lord said in Matthew 26 is still true. Even for the believer. The spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. Yes, our experiences that we often are willing in the spirit, but find ourselves weak in the flesh to carry out that which we willed in the spirit. Now, I need you to turn with me to Romans chapter 7. I'm going to show this to you. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reveals to us the reality of the spirit being willing and the flesh being weak. Look what he says. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that doeth, that dwelleth in me. See, even the Apostle Paul found that he often had a willing spirit, but his flesh, his sinful nature, got in the way. Look at verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would, that do I. Weakness of the body. Verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Weakness of the nature. Look at verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. There's the willing part. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. There's the flesh's weak part. But Galatians 5:17 says this. For the flesh, that's my natural, weak, sinful nature. But the flesh lusteth or desireth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Dear born-again Christian, we've all been there. And we'll all be there yet again. When the spirit says, tell the truth, and the flesh says, I'm too proud to tell the truth. When the spirit says, give, and the flesh is too cheap to give. When the spirit knows the right thing to do is to be kind, but the flesh is too selfish to follow through. So then we would ask ourselves, well then listen, if the spirit of man is willing, but his flesh is weak, and the spirit of the Christian is willing, but his flesh is weak, what does it benefit me then, besides going to heaven, being born again? The mastery. Romans 7:24. Look what it says here. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What's Paul saying? He's saying, you know what? Who's going to help me? Where do I find the power? In Jesus Christ my Lord. Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? From its power. From its power through sin and its weakness through sin. The power of sin over me and the weakness of my flesh to keep me from doing what I should do. Who could help me? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Being born again and having the Spirit of God opens us to understanding the things of God and provides a spiritual power to do the things of God the way God wants them done. In other words, once we get born again, we have a power, a resource, an ally that enables us to go beyond the spirit of man and beyond the weakness of the flesh. We no longer live according to the senses. Remember, that's the natural man. But now we live by the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Being a new man, we have a new wisdom. We have the wisdom of God. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Being a new man, we have a new power, the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Being a new man, we have a new mind, the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, but we have the mind of Christ. Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Here it is, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so here we are, we're over here, we're natural men, we're all born that way. We know the things of man, but we don't know the things of God. Until we trust Christ as our Savior and we're born again by the Spirit of God. And now we have the Spirit of God that dwells in us. And now we can know not only the things of man, but we can know the things of God. But we're still human beings. We still have this problem. We still have that old nature that never goes away. And we have this new nature in Christ. And they're arguing with each other. Who's going to give us the power to do what's right? The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we're told to yield ourselves. Now, let's go back to 7:24 of Romans, because listen to what Paul says. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I believe Paul's talking about two deliverances here. The first deliverance that he gives the Christian is deliverance from the power and practice of sin. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That means that's talking about the bondage of sin. You see, when I got saved, when I was over here as the natural man, I sinned, and sin had dominion over me. I mean, I lied, didn't think anything of it. And so did you. I cheated. I stole. I had impure thoughts, did impure things. Now I'm over here. I got born again. I have the Spirit of God that dwells within me. And now I still have those same choices to make. But now I have the power of the indwelling Spirit of God to enable me, when my spirit is willing, to overcome the weakness of my flesh. Isn't that wonderful? I have a whole new life. I live a whole new way. I think a whole new way. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Here, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, I've escaped a lot of corruption because the Spirit of God dwells in me. And I understand the things of God. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. So here is the strategy to have mastery. Number one, James 4:7, submit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's how you live the Christian life. You submit. Number two, you commit. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So what do? We submit unto the Lord, and we commit ourselves to the Lord. Number three, yield. Romans chapter 6, verse 13, if you'd like to turn there. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. I want you to see this. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Five times the word yield is used in those verses. So what's God saying? He said you submit and you commit. Then you yield. Number four, Ephesians 6:11, you shield. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, when you're over here in a natural man, you can't stand against the wiles of the devil. You ain't got nothing. You have no power. But when you're over here, you have the Spirit of God. Now you can stand against the wiles of the devil. How? By putting on the whole armor of God, which is mentioned there in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Psalm 119:14, thou art a my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word. Psalm 18:35, thou hast also given me the shield of my salvation. Psalm 33:20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And so we find out that faith is a shield, and the word of God is a shield, and salvation is a shield, and God is our shield. So we commit. We submit, we commit, we yield, and we shield. Number five, 1 Corinthians 9:27, we bring. Listen to what it says. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. My hand wants to touch that. I bring it into subjection. My feet want to go there. I bring them into subjection. My eyes want to look at that. I bring them into subjection. I want to read this. I bring it into subjection. How? By the power of the Spirit of God that dwells within. I couldn't do it over here, but I can do it over here. How? By yielding. And then once I yield, I can bring my body into subjection. Listen, we're to tell our bodies what to do. Our bodies aren't supposed to tell us what to do. And then number 6, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, we sing. And be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So when you submit and you commit, when you yield and shield, when you bring and you sing, now you can walk with mastery over the weakness of the flesh. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so we have the malady, soul flu. We have the mastery, coming to Christ, and having the Spirit of Christ within. And then lastly, we have the mystery. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 51. The Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. He's talking to born-again people. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The word sleep, referring to death. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is the second deliverance that Paul's talking about. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who can deliver me from its weakness and its dominion over me? Jesus Christ. Amen. But listen, there's coming a day when he's going to deliver us from this body. The Bible says we shall all be changed. There's coming a day, it's called the resurrection day, when those who are dead are going to be brought up out of the grave, and we are alive are going to be changed. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So here on this earth, God gives us the power as the children of God, by the Spirit of God, to be delivered from the power and the practice and the dominion of sin. But one day he's going to deliver us from the very presence of sin. Remember, the weakness of the human nature is sin, and the weakness of the human body is mortality. One of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ will take care of both of those. 1553. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality. See? One of these days, we're going to be like Jesus. Look at verse 49 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look what it says. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, natural man, mortal man, sinful man, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. The sinless man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The spiritual man, the eternal man. There's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come and take his people home. 1 John 3, 2 says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. John 14, 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. My dear friend, the malady is the weakness of the flesh and soul flu. The mastery is Christ in me. And the mystery is the resurrection, that one day we shall be like him and be with him for all eternity. Let's bow for a word of prayer. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to ask a few questions for you to answer to yourself. Number one, if you're here and you're a Christian, you're born again, all of this is given so that the born-again Christian might live the abundant life, might walk worthy unto all pleasing, and live in victory over the lusts of the flesh. Deliverance for eternity has been promised, and deliverance for today has been provided. And I want to ask you, dear Christian, are you living a true Christian life in power and victory? Are you a spiritual Christian filled with the Spirit of God, or a carnal Christian filled with the spirit of self? Are you submitted and committed? Are you yielded and shielded? Are you bringing and singing? If so, then you should be walking in the Spirit, and you should be pleasing to the Lord. But perhaps this morning you realize there's something in your life that needs a little attention. There's something in your life that needs to be changed. Perhaps tonight, day would be the day you make that decision. Perhaps you're here this morning, you've never been born again. You were born a natural man and you will die a natural man, and at odds with God by sin. And all you'll have in the end is religion without relationship, rituals without righteousness, and pageantry without reality. But today, God is giving you an opportunity to establish a relationship with him through the righteousness of Christ and make eternal salvation a reality for you. 1 Peter 2:24, Christ, who his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Today, while you still live and breathe, put all of your trust and faith in Christ alone, and call upon him to be your Savior before it's eternally and tragically too late. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Perhaps this morning you need to call upon the name of the Lord and receive him into your life as your Savior. Perhaps this morning you need to call upon the Lord and be born into God's family by his Spirit. And you can do that by just right there in your seat. I'd like to help you. You say, preacher, I'd like to be saved. I'd like to be born of God's Spirit. And I'm ready and I'm willing. Right now in my seat, I want to pray and ask Jesus to be my Savior. Would you lift your hand up and say, I'm right here. I don't want to die and go to hell. I understand I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus is the Savior. But I've never formally and personally trusted him and asked him to come into my life as my Savior. Anybody like that here this morning? Just lift your hand up and you and I can pray and you can ask Jesus to be your Savior. All right, thank you. Is there another? Someone else might say, yes, I get it. And I don't want to leave till I have Jesus. Anybody else like that here today? Just slip your hand up. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray to God. It's not a magic prayer. This is a prayer of faith. If you believe what you pray, God sees it as faith. So say something like this to God. Say, dear God, I confess that I am a sinner, and I cannot save myself, nor can anyone else. But I believe Jesus is the Christ, and And I believe that he came and died and rose again for me. And right now, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive my sins. And I'm asking you, and I'm trusting you to be my Savior and to take me to heaven someday when I die. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. And thank you, Lord, for being willing to save me. If you prayed that prayer and meant it in your heart, would you look up at me? You meant that prayer? On the authority of God's word, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Congratulations. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, the only ones looking up are those who prayed that prayer and meant it in their heart. I'm looking around to see if there's anybody else. Lift your hand up, and I might see you and say, yes, preacher, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. All right, thank you. Anyone else? Now's not the time to be bashful. Now's the time to be bold and call upon the name of the Lord. Anyone else? Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your love and mercy. Thank you for the Lord Jesus who came and took our place and died in our place and shed his sinless life's blood to pay for our sin and was buried in our tomb and rose again for our salvation. And Father, we're saved by grace through faith. That's it. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank you for those who got saved today. Bless them and encourage them. And Father, now that they have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, may they submit and commit. May they yield and shield. May they bring. And oh God, may they sing. We love you, Lord. Help us now in the invitation. If we have decisions that need to be made, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 595. Have your own way, Lord. Now listen, dear Christian, do you really mean that? Have thine own way? Well, maybe he hasn't had his own way. And you need to come this morning and say, Lord, I haven't let you have your own way, but I will. I want to today. You come, would you please? 595. Have thine own way. If you have any questions about going to heaven, I want you to come and see me as we sing on the first.